The following episode of Focus on Arts was made possible by the Creative Community Scheme funding.
Welcome to this week's Focus on Arts here on Coast Access Radio. I'm Paul Neese.
Elena, where are you? Are you even there? I guess I don't have an answer. I'm neither there nor here. I feel like an extra.
That was a snippet from an album called Self-Portrait of a Woman Unraveling by Elena. She's an artist new to me, but has released an EP called Tender in 2020, the Self-Portrait album in 2023, and she has just released her Somaphore album, Set Her Free. Welcome to the show, Elena.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well. It's great to have you on the show, and I must say, although I came late to your work and your music, I'm really enjoying it and I think it's fantastic. So well done.
Thank you. And I'm glad you're here.
And let's explore it a bit. But let's start in Rotorua. You were born and grew up in Rotorua. So I'd like to know how that growing up in that town affected and informed your musical development.
I loved my upbringing at Rotorua and my childhood especially. It's such a beautiful space to be in. Both my parents are teachers, so I went to a small rural school for primary and intermediate, and my dad is actually a music teacher, so that really influenced my, I guess, musical world from a very young age. He taught choir, which was a lot of kids sitting on the floor just singing songs that he loved. And from there I started, I think I was about 6 years old when I went to Dad and started singing him a song, and he was like, oh, you can hold a note. So he recorded me, and from there it was just a very natural progression of learning songs, being in the musical world, I guess, and developing myself as an artist. It was a very slow but beautiful kind of journey of unfolding. And I think Rotorua is really rich in the arts as well in general, so I think being in that environment made me feel like it was the, or just felt like the right pathway for me. I was like, oh, I want to pursue this.
And what was it like hearing your recorded singing voice for the first time?
Oh, ridiculous. I can't remember how I felt when I was younger. But I remember years later I listened to it and I was like, I sound like a chipmunk, a very in tune chipmunk, but it was pretty cute. But I'm grateful for Dad. Like, he likes to say my first CD was a sellout because he made about four of them and sent them to all the grandparents. So
so there's more that I haven't heard.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that'll be on a deep cut years later, the
maybe
early versions.
So did your dad teach you how to play guitar?
He did. Taught me until I was about nine or so. Me and my brothers all played guitar. And then once I learned enough to play for myself, I kind of went from there and started writing my own music. And the same with keyboard lessons. I had a few lessons early and then learned enough to kind of play by ear. So yeah, and that just helped my songwriting a lot too, where I could set up my own little space.
So yeah, the rest is just developing your musical expertise in, on those instruments through time and practice.
Exactly, yeah. And learning other people's songs, I think that was a huge part of, I think right through my early teens, was developing, I guess, my own taste and what I felt really drawn to. I learned a lot of amazing songs from when I was younger, and I started falling in with soul music, R&B music, and The Voice, and have a deep love for singer-songwriter folk music too. So that felt, learning lots of covers of different people's songs subconsciously taught me so much about songwriting too.
Yeah. So when did you start songwriting? When did you write your first song, Elena?
I don't know exactly how old I was, but I found some early songwriting books somewhere. I don't know if you can see behind me, but I have like books and books, and I've just collected, I don't know how many journals and things over the years that, and I was going through a box of things when I was young, and I found a song I'd written, and I don't know what I was saying, but I was trying something. But I think I was around 15 when I properly wrote and finished a song. And the only reason for that was it was for the songwriting competition Play It Strange, which is for school kids. And the song was for write a song about peace. And I was able to record that song in an official studio in Auckland. And I remember that feeling so vividly, because it was my first time in a studio recording my own music, and I was like, oh, I feel really at home here. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah, even listening to that song back, even though I didn't know what I was doing, I was following really classic song structures and chordal progressions just based on everything I'd learned for years of learning to play other people's songs. So that was really cool.
And that led a little bit later to your first EP. How did that come about, that you were able to record an EP, which would have been a very exciting thing to do?
It was amazing, yeah. So I went to a music school called Mains, which was based in Auckland, and I spent a few years writing, I guess, my first collection of songs that really felt like me, Elena the artist, I guess. That was what I was really trying to find. And I sat down with two of my peers who I was studying with, and we recorded, a demo version of the EP. I went and got my vocals recorded by a great producer called Josh Fountain. And I worked with a producer, Noima Taho, who I work with for years now, and Aaron Strickland. And I had those songs ready to go. I spent about a year recording them. And then I moved to New York just on a one-year visa, and I put one song on SoundCloud, a song called Bliss, which was an early version of the one that's released now, and an indie label heard it just online back in it was 2016, and they said, this is amazing, do you want to release your songs with us officially? And they said, are you open to, you know, working with some producers and reproducing them? And I said, at first I was like, no, I've spent ages doing this. and I was really proud of the work, but I'm glad I was open to it, because the songs I was so proud of, and I was still developing, I guess, my sonic landscape, I guess. And I got to bring the songs to some really awesome producers who could elevate what we'd already made even more. And I released my first song, Falling Autumn, in February 2017 officially, and it was amazing. I still remember the first night I went out with my friends in New York, and we celebrated my first ever song. And yesterday I was going through my database, and I think I've released about 55 songs in total now in 9 years, so it's pretty crazy to look back at.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just talk about that album, that EP, a little bit. The lyrics say, wondering out loud, have I lost myself? Lately these days are making a stranger out of me. That's from the song Tender. Had you lost yourself at that stage? Were you trying to find yourself then?
Definitely. I remember that song specifically, Tender, came from, I'd written a lot before then about relationships and love, and I really love writing from that place, but Tender was the first song I'd written about the relationship with myself. And I guess, you know, I was in my early 20s still, I don't think it ever stops, but figuring myself out. And I'd felt quite, I remember writing that song, I had the line, my softness is my superpower. And I don't know where that came from, but it felt really important for me, because I think where I was in life, and also the artist I am, I'm quite a soft person, and everything in the industry kind of, if you're not careful, can maybe exploit that softness, or that softness can harden over time. Or I felt like I need to be a bit more tough to be in this industry or in this life, I guess. And that song was a real, I could feel myself numbing a little bit, or being, yeah, I didn't want to lose it. So it was a bit of coming from a little bit of grief. I'm like, where am I going? I need to come back home to myself. And Tender was a really special song for me for that reason.
And then I think the themes continue in your first full-length album, Self-Portrait of a Woman Unraveling, a great title for an album, by the way. Well
Thank
done
you.
On that. Because the first words that you sing in, on that album are, Elena, where are you? So you're still lost 3 years later on this album, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a real intention of that album. I knew the title of the album or the concept of it for about 2 years before I started working on it, because of that very reason of, oh, there's this part of me that doesn't know who I am, and also, and this is one of the things that is not only in music but in life too, is this expectation of like, who are you? What do you have to say? And I felt like I couldn't quite clarify or see myself yet, which is why the cover of the album is this blurred woman, because I can't quite reach her. I can't quite see her yet. You know, she's not quite in focus. And so Buckle and Baby, that song, I can't think of a better way to start. The point, I'm like, well, where do we start? Where are you?
That's a great way to start.
Here.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then the album sort of explores, you know, you trying to find yourself. And a song that resonated with me was Icicles on My Eyelashes, where you depict yourself as being disassociated from others, present in a group of people at a gathering or a party, taking part in the conversations, but one step back, you know, as if they're behind a mirror or behind glass, rather. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very, very powerful images in that song.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very proud of that song because it felt like a real, I guess, honest articulation of this feeling that I can't quite understand, but a feeling of distance from people. And I wondered, these kind of themes, I think, continue in my work a little bit, as I feel like quite an observer sometimes, and wondering if that's just who I am too. But Icicles on My Eyelashes felt like the most vulnerable, probably one of the most vulnerable songs I've done. And that was a little bit, felt quite exposing. But I'm glad I put it out, because that's what I'm drawn to in other people's work. Mm. So I am glad that you resonated with it.
It must be really hard putting out an album that's as intensely personal as that one particularly was. Mm. The songs are very vulnerable. The melodies are fragile and vulnerable as well, which echoes the themes of the music. But it's about you. So how do you go about putting something so intensely personal about you out to the public?
Yeah, when I'm writing, I don't really think fast forward to that point, because I honestly don't know how else to write other than from that really honest place. And it was just a very, very transparent way of how I was thinking and feeling at that time and had been over those years. So the writing part was very, I wouldn't say easy, but I wouldn't know how else to kind of explain, I guess, my feelings or emotions. What I did find hard, or do find hard sometimes, is the releasing part. I go, oh yeah, now I have to get this out to people who need it.
Yeah.
It is, because I'm so close to the work, I think there is a little bit of grief as well that happens. Like, I need to let it go and let it be what it needs to be for someone else. And also for me, I have to almost create a little bit of a acceptance of what it is, and really let it be what it is without me in it. I made the music for myself, and then the part of sharing it is now it's no longer for me, it's for whoever needs it.
So you let it go, which is getting on to the theme of your latest album, but we'll get there shortly. But in Self-Portrait, is there a bit of self-awareness coming through at the end? I mean, Cherry Tree talks about, you know, blossoming and things like that. So was that deliberately moving to a state of being more self-aware but not necessarily completely self-aware?
Yeah, definitely. So Cherry Tree comes in the album after the song The Ground. So I kind of see The Ground as this midway point in the album where I'm looking a lot more objectively at my position and saying, oh, when was the last time I decided to lie down and look at animals in the clouds? Like, when I miss this honest viewpoint of being a child, but maybe I need to decide to look at my reality through a new lens. So Cherry Tree feels almost like a circling back at that point in the album. And seeing these new horizons and kind of building up this sense of self that I'd talked about not being able to find.
But it's still not completely there by the end of the album. There's still songs that say, I'm still wondering if I've found myself, basically, aren't there?
Definitely. Yeah. And that was a really part of the process that I am amazed at now looking back, because when I started the album I thought I could plan it out. I'd say, well, the first song say this, and then there's a middle point of realization, and then by the end of it I will be able to answer the question of who I am. And I thought that was how it was going to go, which is hilarious that I thought I could dictate the creative process in that way. But what came from creating that, I found instead, there's this part of me that is forever unraveling, and that's what we're supposed to do. And the very act of me reaching forward and trying to make contact with that person is the point. I'm never ever going to quite meet that, but the very leaning in is what I think life is in self-discovery.
So you lean in further on the new album, which is Set Her Free. Now that that song, the title song, is the final song on the album, which is interesting to me, I think. But how did you know that that was going to be the title song for the album?
So the point I wrote Set Her Free, the song, I'd written about half the album, and I was looking for the right collaborator to help me finish the album, so get the little missing pieces. And Set Her Free was my first session with a producer called Ben Malone, who's based in Auckland. And we'd booked a few days in the studio. We're like, hey, we've been talking for years to work. Let's do it and see. And he put his little synth in the middle of the studio. I was sitting on the ground playing with the sound. And I was just sitting there singing, what have I if I set her free, over and over again. And I didn't really know what it meant at that time. But as soon as I received the bounce, I think the next day from Ben, where he'd spliced together what we hear now as Set It Free from a 10-minute jam. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, yes, this is what I want. I don't know what this feels like, but this is the right, something was quite potent in it. And Set It Free, it felt like a song I didn't understand yet, but I knew I didn't need to. And even now, looking at it, probably a year and a half later, it keeps revealing to me what it means. And I think in 10 years' time, I'll be able to go, oh, that's what it is, you know? And we were wrapping up all the songs for the album, and I still didn't have the title. I had like a standing title for a bit, but I knew it wasn't feeling right. And we were listening to Set Her Free before we sent it off to mix and master. And I was like, oh my gosh, Set Her Free is the answer to every song or every question or statement on the album. So if I went through the track list, Love of My Life, Set Her Free, Mother's Mother, Set Her Free, Animal, Set Her Free. And it was all these, it was the answer to everything. and it felt like the very essence of the album itself.
And so, and the answer to everything, hence it being the last track on the album.
Exactly. And it was really beautiful because it also, I feel, answered the question to my first album, Self-Portrait of a Woman Unraveling, Set Her Free Too. So it felt very full circle.
The album is about all the facets of love. And a song that particularly resonates with me is But It's Lonely. And that's about love not being returned, isn't it?
Yeah, a love that feels distant. So I'd almost a similar feeling to icicles on my eyelashes. Mm. This feeling of distance. And one of my favourite lyrics of the whole album is in the second verse where it says, what if you're an island that I want to be on, but maybe I'll only ever be your shore. And it was a feeling of like, I'm an ocean. All of these emotions, I feel too big of emotions and maybe this is who I am and maybe I'm just never going to be on the same place as someone, you know. And that feeling is I guess something I was trying to write about for years and I couldn't quite get it. And as soon as I wrote that song, I said, oh, there it is. You know, I can't quite, all I can say is that it's lonely, whatever that loneliness is. And then the production that was added and the strings that we added, I feel carried it. To me, some of the wordlessness in the song or what isn't said carries a very strong emotion, and it points to the fact that some things just can't quite be articulated.
I agree. The strings on that song, really good. They do make the song something really, really special. So how long did it take to create the whole album, Elena?
So I wrote the first few songs were nearly 2 years ago now of the album, and so it was about a year and a half process of writing and recording. And I guess the first, 6 months, I was just doing a lot of writing sessions and some songwriting camps and looking for the North Star a little bit. And once I'd found it, I love that feeling because I feel like once I get that, I put my blinders on. I'm like, okay, that's the project, and I dive into the world. So it was a pretty insane year of sinking my teeth into it.
And were the songs on the album, were they the only ones that you wrote for the project, or were there others that didn't quite make it?
Yeah, there were many songs. In the last 3 months before everything went to mix, Ben and I ended up writing another handful of songs that were incredible that I still really love. But I had a whiteboard in the studio and was writing all the titles, and suddenly it got to 20 songs and we were like, oh God, this is one, we can't afford this. But it was really cool because I think it allowed me to really refine the message too. So I could be like, okay, this song needs to be on here. This song is beautiful, but maybe it's not, it doesn't need to be part of this message. So maybe in years to come, there might be a deluxe or a little deep cuts version, I'm sure.
We'll look forward to that. Now, I think your music's really great. What I like about it is it gives itself up to the listener slowly, and it requires a number of listens to do so. It's much like, you know, you slowly revealing yourself through the album. So, yeah, every time you listen to one of your songs and repeat the listen or come back to it later, you get something different out of it. There's still that fragile, very melodic feel about all of the songs.
Thank you.
How do you think you developed as a songwriter between Tender and Set Her Free?
What I understand my place in the songwriting room a lot more now, over just years of learning and turning up to the studio and being a student and wanting to evolve. I think a huge part that it's really only happened in the last year or so is, and I guess the process of writing this album, is how easy it is in the songwriting room to get in the middle instead of letting the song take center stage. And I mean that in a sense of it's very normal when you're a creative to have self-doubt or let all the critique come in too early. And now I'm a lot more aware of noticing that when it happens. As soon as I start doubting the ideas or I start doubting myself, I realize I've accidentally gone and plonked myself in the middle of the room. And I go, oh no, get out of the way. You know, come back, where's the song? Let it come back into the center. And that's been huge for me as a creative. And I've learned so much more about the creative process and just listening. Creativity is an experience for me that is feels bigger than myself. And I have to, the moment I kind of shrink down to only myself, I feel myself losing the contact or the, I don't think, to be honest, I have the words for what the experience is when I find it, but it's just such a beautiful moment when I see this hand working in the studio that's not mine, and I just get to ride the wave and be like, okay, show me where to go. It's almost like it carries you when you get on the wave of inspiration.
Now, the album is available on streaming services, but I also hear there might be a vinyl release, or there is a vinyl release. Tell us about that.
I made a vinyl, yeah, with Holiday Records, yeah, who are amazing to work with. So that's on my merch store as well, online, and can ship to anywhere in the world.
Right, I'm sure a lot of people will be seeking it out. I recommend your EP and both your albums to listeners to immerse themselves in the music. It's really, really great. Thank you, Elena. It's been wonderful talking to you. And I know you're going to have a tour soon, and an announcement coming up, and we're going to get you back and talk more about that in a little while. So all the best until then, and we're going to go out and leave the show with a little bit of the song Set Her Free. Thanks, Elena.
Thanks, Paul.
And that's Focus on Arts for this week.
If I set her free, what of I? If I set her free, what of I?
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.